Like, I had seen all these different elements come into play of how fitness can impact your life, and how, like, CrossFit was working for some people, and how bodybuilding was working for some, and now even the races. And it was like, okay, now I have some tools. I have a reason to do it. Let's go. And that's really when I started training almost every single day and started seeing some pretty quick changes. And it's just amazing because I realized, okay, yeah, there's a lot of things that I can't help. There are a lot of things that were taken out of my control very early, but I'm not going to focus on that. I'm going to focus on what God has given me the ability to impact. Like, I can choose how I use my time. I can choose what my activities are. Like, doctors, they can tell me, okay, your lungs are only working at 50 or 60%. Your heart's only working at 50%. They can't tell me what I'm going to do with that 50 or 60%. And it's been a crazy ride.
This is episode number 107 with Stephen Douglas. Have you tried out Thrive Market yet? If not, you are definitely missing out. What are you waiting for? Thrive Market is an online marketplace on a mission to make healthy living easy and affordable for everyone. It allows you to shop for thousands of the best-selling non-GMO foods and natural products, always at 25 to 50% below retail prices. But as a Pursuing Health listener, you'll receive an additional 25% off your first purchase, plus a free 30-day trial if you visit www.thrivemarket.com/PH. My husband Danny and I shop for our staple grocery items using Thrive Market. Things like nut butters, cooking oils, snacks, dressings, coffee and tea, personal care products, eco-friendly cleaning supplies, and non-toxic beauty products. It has helped us to stay on track with our busy schedules during medical training, and we know all of their products are coming from a curated list that we can trust. So, no matter what you're looking for, whether it's paleo, vegan, ketogenic, gluten-free, non-GMO, fair trade certified, or any of 80 plus other types of products, you can easily find them on the Thrive Market platform at prices 25 to 50% below retail. Even better, these items are shipped straight to your doorstep, so you don't have to worry about the time or hassle of grocery shopping. Thrive Market's mission is to make healthy living easy and approachable to everyone, and this aligns perfectly with my own personal mission and that of Pursuing Health. Because it has been such a lifesaver for me, I wanted to share the benefits of Thrive Market with all of you, and they've responded with an amazing offer. So head to www.thrivemarket.com/PH to receive 25% off your first purchase plus a free 30-day trial. Again, this is on top of their already 25 to 50% below retail prices. So why not try it out and do your grocery shopping from home this week? I hope you can take advantage of this offer and enjoy their service as much as I have. Once again, that website is thrivemarket.com/PH to learn more. No discount code is necessary. Just shop around and the discount will be applied at checkout. This episode is brought to you by Siete Foods. You know when you meet a group of people who are just so genuine that you can't help but treat them like old friends or family? Well, that's how I felt when meeting the Garza family, the founders of Siete Foods. Siete is a healthy Mexican-American food brand that makes grain-free and paleo-friendly tortillas and tortilla chips, as well as quesos and hot sauce. My husband and his family first met the Garzas at Paleo FX several years ago, and they had an instant connection, and we've kept in touch ever since. Maybe it's their powerful origin story that makes them so relatable. Veronica Garza was facing a series of major health challenges as a teenager, and her entire family of seven jumped on board to help. Together, they adopted a low-inflammation, grain-free diet. But as a Mexican-American family living in South Texas, they couldn't imagine life without tortillas, and it wasn't long before Veronica came up with a delicious solution and Siete Foods was born. After years of enjoying their delicious, grain-free, dairy-free, and paleo-friendly tortillas, tortilla chips, queso, and hot sauces, I finally had the chance to meet the Garzas in person, and they immediately made me feel like a member of the family. Their passion for making the world a healthier place is contagious, and their generosity spreads to everyone they touch. I'm so excited to have Siete Foods as a sponsor of this episode, and if you're not already a fan of their products, I promise you will be after you try them. You can purchase Siete products online and in stores across the U.S. They've provided an exclusive discount code for Pursuing Health listeners. Just use the code JULIE19 to receive 10% off any online order. Again, their website is sietefoods.com. That's sietefoods.com. And you can use code JULIE19 for 10% off. Welcome to Pursuing Health. I'm Julie Fouché, family medicine resident and former CrossFit Games athlete. Here, I bring to you information and inspiration from experts and everyday individuals for how to use lifestyle to maximize health. Thank you so much for joining me. Now let's get started with this week's episode. Welcome back to Pursuing Health. I am very, very excited about this episode because we are doing something that we haven't in way too long on the podcast. We are bringing on a Pursuing Health podcast listener to share how he's used lifestyle changes to overcome some various serious health challenges. This 24-year-old young man's name is Stephen Douglas, and as you'll soon hear, he is wise beyond his years and has many important lessons to teach us all. Stephen has faced more obstacles than the average person, starting from birth with a heart defect requiring open heart surgery, and you'll soon hear how that obstacle shaped his childhood and how another diagnosis and subsequent treatment at the age of 10 would lead him into what he calls a very dark place during his teenage years. It wasn't until the age of 20, weighing around 300 pounds and already diagnosed with elevated blood pressure, that one of his doctors told Stephen something that triggered him to make some big lifestyle changes. After seeing the CrossFit Games on television, he began to make some small changes which led to a cascade of events so that now he's in the very best shape of his life. After listening to the podcast, Stephen had reached out to me with his story, and I was so excited to finally sit down with him for this episode to hear it firsthand. We talk about everything from what it's like to deal with a scary medical diagnosis as a child, to how he shifted his mindset from being a victim of his medical conditions to maximizing what was within his control, and how making some very big changes to his lifestyle has dramatically impacted his physical and mental health. Before we get started, I have a few quick reminders. First, this episode is produced by CrossFit Beyond the Whiteboard, the best workout tracking in the biz and one I've been using since 2009. You can learn more at beyondthewhiteboard.com. If you're enjoying the podcast, please head over to iTunes to subscribe and consider giving it a rating. I'm also always looking for inspiring stories to share, just like Stephen's in this episode. So don't be shy. If you or someone you know has used lifestyle to overcome a serious health challenge, please send your story to me at info@juliefouché.com. Who knows? You could be featured on the podcast just like Stephen in the very near future. Finally, please remember that although I am now officially a doctor, this podcast is meant to share the experiences of individuals and does not provide medical advice. So, with that, let's get started with episode number 107 of Pursuing Health featuring Stephen Douglas. Welcome to Pursuing Health.
Thank you for having me.
So excited to be here with you.
This is going
to
be fun. Yeah, I'm excited.
So this is Stephen Douglas, and he has an incredible health journey story that we're going to get into today. I'm really excited just to be sitting down with you and hearing more about your story.
Yeah, it's crazy because, like I told you before, I've listened to your podcast for a long time, and hearing all of these other athletes and hearing the mindsets and the tips that they gave helped me in my journey. And so even if just one person gets something from what I'm saying, then it's worth all the effort. So thank you for having me. I'm really excited about this.
Awesome. Yeah, that is exactly what it's all about. So it's good to hear that, you know, that some of those episodes that you've listened to have impacted you in some way, and
Absolutely.
Now we're kind of paying it forward.
Yes, ma'am. Yes, ma'am.
So let's just start at the beginning. So I know, you know, everyone is dealt a certain hand in life. You came right off the bat from birth with a couple of obstacles. So can you talk a little bit about that?
It started out, like you said, right from the beginning, we had some major complications. When I was being born, the first one that we came across was when I was coming out, the umbilical cord had wrapped around my throat. And so every time the doctors were trying to pull me out, it kept choking me out, and they weren't sure what was going on. They couldn't really figure it out. Finally, they get it cleared, and I get out, and there was a period of time where I had no oxygen flow at all. I wasn't breathing, and my family had had some challenges with this before, and so this was a nightmare scenario for my mom and dad.
Yeah.
And when finally some time goes by, and I start crying and coughing, and my mom breathes a sigh of relief, and she's like, all right, he's alive, he's making it. And then the doctor turns to her and says, no, that's not a good cry. And so they take me out of the picture right away and put me in isolation for a long time. And finally they come back and tell my parents that I was born with a heart defect. And so I had tetralogy of Fallot, and that required me to go and have open heart surgery.
Wow.
So
and that's, they found that out right at the time you were born.
Right off the bat. They found it very quick. And there were a lot of, like we said, there were a lot of complications. So they were covering all the bases they could just to make sure that everything was all good. And finally, 7 months of age and have open heart surgery. And we began to think that everything is okay. But there were some small challenges in there too, because my dad's my hero without question. But he was an athlete in high school, like big athlete. And one of the biggest dreams that he had was to have a son that played sports, like played football, did all these great things.
What sports did your dad play?
He played football and wrestled. Those were the two big ones.
Okay.
Like his dad really pushed him to do athletics all the time.
Yeah.
And so those were the ones that he really clung to. And so he had this dream that he wanted a son that was out there like playing the sports, and he was cheering him on, and the roles reversed. Well, when the doctors are sitting down with my dad and my mom, they inform him that because of my heart defect and because of some of the other issues, I should never play football. I should never play these challenges. And I can imagine, my dad has never like blatantly told me that that was a shock or that it was a disappointment, but I can imagine from how I would perceive it that that was a big blow. And so from that point on, the doctors pretty much said, hey, he's not going to be able to do everything that his peers can do. You just need to be careful. And my mom, she's taking all these notes. My mom, basically, I think if you take all this research and study she's put into me and finding out what's going on with me, she might have her doctorates. No joke.
She's probably more of an expert than some of the doctors,
I would say,
on that specific
absolutely.
Condition.
As soon as anything came up with me, she was the first one to do research on it. And so for a long period of time, it was like she was monitoring everything I did. And we couldn't, I was living a normal life. Like I was out with my friends, but we never pushed it too far. We never really tried the sports thing because it was discouraged. And I wouldn't say we had like this calm, relaxing lifestyle, but we were out doing activities. But fitness was never really like the big push.
So were you ever playing sports or anything as a kid?
The closest I got to playing sports was my church. They had this thing called upwards basketball.
Okay.
And so it was... I'm an extremely competitive person. And so when they started doing upward, I get there and I realize they're not keeping score.
Oh.
And so as I'm like 11 years old, I'm like, what is the point of this? If we're not even keeping score, I don't know. And my dad's sitting there at the sidelines and he's keeping score. Like he's letting me know every time I come over, he's like, you're winning or you're losing. And I'm like, okay. Cause it was never on the scoreboard. And so it was like in those small, like, adaptable ways that I was brought into sports.
Yeah.
Like I could go to the Y and play with my cousins, do things like that.
Okay.
But for like the first 10 years, it was pretty calm, pretty normal.
And you said you had some asthma too, like early on?
So they found that out roughly around the time where I had the open heart surgery.
Okay.
And so that's one of the big reasons why they were so cautious about letting me do athletics, letting me do sports, because they knew my lungs weren't functioning normally. My heart's not functioning normally. So we're not going to test it.
Don't want to push it.
Exactly. And so we had a pretty calm 10 years. And then my dad has been in the military or retired a couple years back from the Air Force. He spent 31 years in.
Wow.
And he was deployed, I believe it was to Kuwait. And while he was deployed, we were at the dentist. And the dentist, they found this cyst growing in my jaw. And they know that it needs to come out. So they refer us to an oral surgeon and we go and we get it checked out. We get it taken care of. And fortunately, this doctor, he did a lot of follow-up because he doesn't want to just accept things for what they were.
Right.
He wants to see what the cause was. And so he starts pulling my medical records. And I remember sitting there and I was very nervous because my dad's gone. So I'm already in a mentally challenged spot. And then my mom and I are sitting there. And he pulls up x-rays from when I was born and comes in, sits down, and I'll never forget this. He looks my mom and I in the face and says, your son has this genetic disorder called Gorlin syndrome. And it's an aggressive form of skin cancer. It causes thousands of basal cell carcinomas to go all over my body, brain tumors, jaw cysts, bone cysts, and starts listing off all of these issues. And honestly, I'm sitting there, and all I heard through that entire conversation was cancer.
I'm 10
years old.
Once you say that word, there's...
Exactly.
Yeah. And you're 10 years old.
And I'm sitting there, and like what they described wasn't really cancer. Like that was genetic disorder, and Gorlin syndrome definitely is not cancer on its own. But all I heard was that. And I remember just locking down. Like my mom, I mentioned how she goes into full research mode with anything. Right. She just locks down. Like there's a good 2 to 3 days, I remember, she doesn't leave the computer. Like wow. She's looking up as much as she can. Everything. And we're trying to get my dad back. Mm-hmm. Dad can't get back from overseas. And my sister, she's just trying to find out what's going on. Mm-hmm. And
she's older or younger?
She's younger. My younger sister, Savannah, she's been great. Like she was always the nurse one when I was going through this. She's making sure I was taken care of. She was huge support.
That's so nice.
But as time went by, they started referring us to other doctors, dermatologists, mm-hmm. and things like that, and ended up going, and they found tons of basal cells all over. And wow.
And you had never noticed anything?
I mean, we had never thought anything of it before. Mm-hmm. Like, it was no reason for us to
right.
look for it.
And as a 10-year-old, you're not really on the alert for exactly. skin cancer.
Like, we were so focused on the other things that were going on. Like, yeah. I was so focused on the idea of my lungs and my heart. Mm-hmm. And that's what my mom was focused on, too. Mm-hmm. So when we have something start with my jaw and then mm-hmm. end up into a full body issue, yeah. it shocked us.
And do they think that the heart tetralogy or any of the lung issues are related to the Gorlin syndrome? Or those
they haven't put those two together. Normally, with it being genetics, it can be passed on, but I was the first mutation in my family. So I'm the first one to start this. And lucky me, right? Yeah.
Always got to be unique and
exactly.
original.
and I say this all the time, and I love my sister to death, but I'm so glad that I was the one who had these instead of her. Mm-hmm. Not just in like the big brother protective way,
yeah.
but I'm a much better patient than she is. Because if she has to get a shot, she's calling 911.
Well
she's about to just
things.
Panic. Me, I'm sitting there. It's okay. It's life.
It's old news for you.
Exactly. But with the Gorlin syndrome, it ended up pushing us towards some treatments that I wasn't really ready for.
Okay.
It wasn't chemo or anything like that. They did this thing called photodynamic therapy, mm-hmm. PDT. Mm-hmm. Have you heard of it?
Mm-hmm.
Okay, perfect. And so basically they go in and they find the cancer lesions, they put the medication on it, cover it for 24 hours, and then put me in this chamber and a laser burns mm-hmm. all the lesions
skin.
Off. And so the first time they did this, my face, I had so many different spots on my face and everywhere. So when I woke up from anesthesia, my eyes were completely swollen shut.
Oh
my mouth was swollen, everything. And so I'm sobbing and my mom is literally having to pull my eyes apart just to get the tears to flow because it's burning.
Awful.
And we had to do that 3 or 4 times. Mm-hmm. But fortunately, the PDT, they believe, has actually taught my body to help fight the basal cells. So I've been a good 3 to 4 years without having any basal cells found.
Wow.
We go to the dermatologist like every 3 to 6 months, mm-hmm. get full body checks, and we haven't found anything.
That's amazing.
So not that it was very painful and challenging in the moment, but at the same time, it was a huge blessing for how that played out. And so I've had over 20 major operations in my life, and because of that.
And are these like skin, like removal of skin lesions or other cysts?
If we're going off
like
of just like the biopsies, like just going to the dermatologist and seeing how many spots I've cut off, I've lost count. If we're just going like cysts and the heart and lungs, things like that, those major operations, that's what we're counting.
Okay.
But as far as like biopsies, I
don't count
tell
those
you.
As operations anymore.
I'm telling you, it was to the point where I knew if we went to the dermatologist, I was going to get biopsies.
Yeah.
If I went to the dermatologist, that meant I got a milkshake after we were done, and I was going to pull the victim card as much as I could to make sure I got some food. And so it was crazy because with all that going on and you feel with all these health challenges, I didn't really care what else was going on. Mm-hmm. Like my health took backseat. Like there was so much out of my control that I just didn't.
And so over
focus.
What time is this, like your teen, like so preteen, teen years?
I would say from 10 to 16 mm-hmm. were probably the darkest time that I could remember mm-hmm. because this is where everything is hitting. Dad is going different places. He's being deployed. Teen years are already challenging.
They're already challenging enough.
They're already
for
challenging.
For anyone. Oh my gosh.
And then when you add all this to the mix, I just felt isolated.
Yeah.
And there were so many things that were taken out of my hands, and I fell into a pretty deep depression and started really challenging with a lot of things. And because of that, I just went with what was comfortable. And so I'm sitting on the couch, I'm eating whatever, I'm not having any drive to do anything. And my health, whatever I could help, like my physical appearance and all of that just started going downhill too. And so my weight skyrockets, my blood pressure, I'm already having a heart issue. So yeah. Blood pressure is something I got to watch. It goes up and
so your blood pressure was up when you were in your teens. Mm-hmm.
Everything was going up because I was very sedimentary. I had no care what I was putting in my system and just sat back and felt like I had the perfect excuse to not care.
Right.
Because my life was already falling apart and I had all of these challenges and my body's failing me. So I really don't feel bad about failing my body.
Yeah.
And it took a while for me to change that. And it honestly went like that till I was about 17 or 18. And it was pretty dark. And my mom, she would try different things to get my dad and I in particular. My sister has like ADHD out the door, so she's bouncing off the walls. It's very easy for her to burn calories, very yeah. easy for her to stay active. My dad and I, we were good just sitting down
yeah.
and doing whatever we wanted to do.
Yeah.
And so she would have ideas like making us watch The Biggest Loser or something like that to try yeah. to encourage us, which kind of backfired because it would be a Tuesday night and my mom taught a children's choir.
Okay.
And so on Tuesday nights, instead of cooking, she would bring us pizza.
Uh-huh.
So my dad and I are sitting on the recliner eating
watching
The Biggest Loser, expecting things to magically change. And I joked around with mom about that. I was like, I'm going to say that on the podcast. She's like, don't make it sound like I was just doing nothing. I'm like, okay, mom was trying. But
she's doing the best she can.
It was really like she was just getting desperate.
Yeah.
And
that's hard to see. First of all, obviously she's doing so much research to mm-hmm. find out how to help you. And then I mean, it has to be hard for any parent to see yep. your kids suffering in so many different ways and feel
Absolutely.
Like you're not able to help them.
And the toughest part through all of that was my mom homeschooled me and my sister all the way through.
Okay.
Because of the military side and then because my health issues
yeah.
with all the school that we were going to miss.
And were you moving locations frequently?
We never really relocated from West Virginia.
Okay.
West Virginia was always home. There were short periods of time where we would move to another location
yeah.
just because dad was going for a class or somewhere else. We would go with him. But as far as like picking up and moving for a long period, never really happened.
And then was it hard for you? Did you have other communities or like ways to make friends while you were going through all this, or were you pretty much just isolated with all of your medical conditions?
So up until I was about 10, I was pretty open and pretty out there with a
yeah.
lot of the group. Like I have a large family, so I have a lot of cousins and that was more like brothers and sisters to me.
Got it.
And then we have our church group and the homeschool groups, things like that.
Mm-hmm.
But when I hit that really dark spot,
yeah.
I've pretty much cut myself off
yeah.
from a lot of people. And I hated being homeschooled at that time.
Mm-hmm.
I did because I felt like I had no other option but to be alone.
Yeah.
And I was pretty much banking everything that I was doing on the fact that there were so many things out of my control
mm-hmm.
that why should I even try to deal with the things I could?
Mm-hmm.
And that it took going to the doctor and a doctor looking me in the face and saying, you're not going to make it to 24
wow.
if you keep this up. And my mom is sitting right there and she's starting to cry. And I look over and I love my family to death. And
yeah.
coming from the military side of things, we look out for each other.
Yeah.
And I'm like, this has got to change. Like,
yeah.
I can't do this. I can't put my mom in this situation.
Mm-hmm.
And so I started making minute changes.
Mm-hmm.
And I started listening to things, trying to gain experience, started listening to this.
Mm-hmm.
And I remember it was 2013. I just graduated high school and I was sitting on the couch just scrolling through trying to find something and came across this thing called the CrossFit Games.
Mm-hmm.
And there was this gentleman by the name of Rich Froning.
Yeah.
And I'm sitting there and I'm just watching this because it's perplexing. Like they're working out for they're doing that on purpose. Like no one's making them lift that weight that many times and they're just running. And I'm just sitting there like, this is crazy.
Yeah.
And it just struck a nerve with me.
Yeah.
The idea that someone was competing at that level, it's not mm-hmm. running down and throwing a basketball in a hoop or scoring a touchdown. It's hey, how far can you push your body?
Yeah.
And I remember looking at that and my cousin Cody and I, Cody was big into like the bodybuilding
okay.
type training. And there unfortunately is like this persona about CrossFit with
yeah.
a lot of those typical bodybuilding
yeah.
gyms, like it's a fad or whatever. And so when I started asking about lifting, he's like, man, you don't want to get into CrossFit. Like it's no big, that's
he's
a fad.
He's trying to get you to do bodybuilding.
And then come to find out now, this I'll skip ahead, both yeah. of us are into CrossFit fully and competing in the open.
Full
so,
circle.
Yeah, it's come full circle. But it was a challenge because I realized, okay, there are some things that I can do.
Yeah.
And so it started changing and my whole life took off from there. Wow. I think from like the 10 to 16 range, I definitely wasn't living. And there were people who could have stepped up and said something to me. But at the same time, because of how I viewed myself and because of the situation that was going on, I feel like they felt it was out of place for them to do that. Like, if he's going through that, why am I going to go and say, hey, you're getting fat?
Right.
No one's going to say that to me. And so it
And was, do you think if someone had said that to you, do you think it would have made a difference at that time?
At that point, I don't think so. Yeah. At that point, I feel like I was so locked into just doing me and tolerating life that I wasn't going to accept anything else. If it had been someone like my mom or sister, maybe. But if it had just been someone from my church coming up, I might have been ticked off.
Like, who are you to say you don't know my life or what I'm going through?
But no, and then I just, like I said, things started taking off and it was small changes. My friends, Andrew, I spent 4 years working at this camp called Victory Junction, which is Kyle Petty's camp for kids with chronic and life-threatening illnesses. This was a camp I got to go to when was growing up. And so my first year there, some of my friends, they went and did this obstacle course race called the Tough Mudder. And they came back and they were all amped up about it. They had their shirts on and I'm way out of the shape. And they're like, Steven, next year you're doing it with us. I'm like, all right, whatever, no big deal. And the next year comes around and they hold me to that and they make me go. And it's about a 12-mile course and they have like 30 obstacles and I'm at my heaviest. So I'm getting close to 300.
This is before you had started really making any changes.
And so I'm
just going to go do a Tough Mudder.
Like I was not thinking this through. And honestly, I hadn't paid attention to what a Tough Mudder was until like 2 weeks before we went on the course. Because I'm like, all right, whatever, we're all going. And then I start looking at the obstacles and I start looking, I'm going to die.
Oh my God.
And then I get there and everyone's like running around and doing backflips and doing all this. I'm like, I'm just going to go to the concession stand. Like, I'll cheer you guys on. I don't care. But we went through it and I failed. I remember it plain as day. I failed every single obstacle that I attempted. I tried it, but I failed miserably. And every time I got up, I was like, okay, this is changing, because that's when my competitive side is kicking in. Like, this is this is not cool. This is something's got to happen. And so we finished it. I walked most of it and was dying afterwards, but that was kind of the jump start. Like, I had seen all these different elements come into play of how fitness can impact your life and how like CrossFit was working for some people and how bodybuilding was working for some and now even the races. And it was like, okay, now I have some tools. I have a reason to do it. Let's go. And that's really when I started training almost every single day and started seeing some pretty quick changes. And it's just amazing because I realized, okay, there's a lot of things that I can't help. There are a lot of things that were taken out of my control very early. But I'm not going to focus on that. I'm going to focus on what God has given me the ability to impact. Like, I can choose how I use my time. I can choose what my activities are. Like, doctors, they can tell me, okay, your lungs are only working at 50 or 60%. Your heart's only working at 50%. They can't tell me what I'm going to do with that 50 or 60%. And it's been a crazy ride. And now all my friends, they're looking at me like I'm some super athlete just because I'm in the gym like five to six times a week. No, it's, I have to do that. I have to keep going because I love the progress that I'm making and the impact that I'm having on everyone around me. I'm have a ton more energy and able to help in better ways. So it's been crazy. And I never thought I would be where I'm at.
That's amazing.
Never.
So when you said the point where you first started really training and doing it almost every day, what did that look like? Were you doing it kind of on your own? Did you join a CrossFit affiliate at any point?
So that was the thing. In West Virginia, there was not too many CrossFit affiliates. That was one of the spots where it's gotten better. Like, there are boxes down there now, but there were no real affiliates in the locations when I was first starting. And so I would just go to the Y, and they had their weight room there. And most of the time I would just train by myself. Like, I would download some app, I would watch the program and I would just go. And eventually I got some people that I knew, because you go down there enough, you form relationships. And so you start training harder. And it was more of just going with what I have. And then when I moved to Michigan, I found Prison City, and it was definitely a unique experience because, like, we've clearly established, and everyone who knows me knows I'm very competitive. I walk in, and these are these huge beasts. Like, these guys are monsters.
So you said this is mainly a weightlifting gym, right?
And I'm just blown away. Like, okay, this is nuts. Like, I don't fit in here because it would be very easy for me to find the gym where at a certain time I can be the strongest person in there. It's very easy to find the time where you don't have to be challenged. And that's one of the things I love about CrossFit is it's not, hey, you just go until you feel uncomfortable. You go as far as you can.
Yeah.
Like you choose how far you can go. Like you're given a time limit. What are you going to do with this time? Like I can coast and I can only do 10 reps and
right.
I can be fine when it's done, or I can just push it and go until I have nothing left.
Yeah.
And I just love that idea of challenging, because I'm not going to just sit back and be easy if I have no other choice. If I have other people pushing me and calling me out in areas, it's sort of call me to do better.
Yeah.
And the guys at Prison City, man, they definitely have done that. And like I said, it made competing in the open a challenge, because there's no bouncer. No. What are the rubber plates? There's just
bumper
straight
plates.
No bumper plates, mm-hmm. straight metal, and then there's no medicine balls. So the open was a challenge, but and everyone was looking at me funny while I did it. But now it's crazy, and it's amazing when I look back. I was given so many opportunities and so many things that I could have done differently, but I just sat back because I felt like I had no other option and let life pass me by. And I took that out on people that really didn't deserve it. Like my mom put in countless hours trying to find out what was going on with me, and she was always the one who was closest. And so when I'm in that mood, I lashed out at her the most. And same thing with my sister and my dad. But it's amazing, and it's such an encouragement when I'm listening to guys like Ben, and I hear their mindsets about how, hey, failure happens. There are times where you're going to mess up and you're going to look back and say, I could have done this different. But there are also areas where you can see growth. Like, you messed up, but you made it farther. The second time I went back to a Tough Mudder, I tried all the obstacles. I did not fail all of them. Third time, same thing. Kept making that progress. And that's what it's all about. Like, that's what pursuing health is. Pursuit is not something that there's a beginning and end. It's always going.
It's not a yes or a no. It's just constant progress.
Exactly.
That's amazing.
Yeah.
I love that. So now, kind of looking at where you're at now compared to where you were around this, what was it, age 18, 20, around after high school. What are some of, number one, the biggest like physical changes that you've noticed, and then, or like kind of benchmarks that you've noticed in terms of things that you're able to do now?
Absolutely.
Or weight? And then some of the other maybe like mental changes.
Absolutely.
Or relationship changes that you've mentioned.
So as far as the PR, the gym goes, I thought it was really crazy when I first started, because I thought I was really strong, because when you're 300 pounds, it's really easy to move
you have
certain
a lot of weight.
So you feel like you're really strong.
Yeah.
But then when you start cutting the weight, it shows you, okay, muscle needs to grow. It's not quite there. And so I had this goal of, I wanted to be able to do twice my body weight in like the deadlift, the squat, and I doubt I'm going to get to bench press anytime soon, but that's my goal.
It's a great goal.
So I currently weigh 213, mm-hmm. which is the lightest I've been since middle school, basically.
Wow.
And I went to the gym a couple days ago and hit 405 raw deadlift.
Wow.
And then hits on the machines, I can hit a lot more, but hit 405 on the deadlift, and then on squat hit about 375. So I'm closing in on that goal for
close.
Two activities. And it's crazy. Like, I just love the idea of pushing it.
Yeah.
And the
fact that you can probably deadlift and squat so much more now, even though you're,
exactly,
what you said, 85 pounds mm-hmm. lighter than you were back then.
It's crazy. And so it's the biggest thing is just seeing how my body's able to adapt. Like, with all that weight for so long, I'm surprised my body isn't more beat up and damaged than it was. And I'm definitely not going to be anywhere near podium at the CrossFit Games or World's Strongest Man, but I'm able to achieve new PRs every day. I'm pushing through it. And even my cardio, with my lung function, the doctors were always telling me, you're not going to be able to function the way other people are. I'm able to run. I'm able to do the same things that everyone else is doing. And now I do it for fun instead of something I have to do.
That's amazing.
And as far as the mentality.
What do your doctors say now after they've seen you go through this sort of transformation?
It's kind of crazy. Because some of the doctors that I started this journey with, they're either moved locations or quit practicing. So they haven't been able to be here full circle. But a lot of them, they see the changes and it floors them. Because there are a lot of people who sit back and they hear what a doctor says and they take that for granted. Like, okay, I have this. I'm just going to tolerate life. I'm going to do what they tell me to do, and I'm not going to push it.
Mm-hmm.
I kind of disobeyed. In a lot of areas, I did not listen to them. And so they watch me in there, and I come in, and just seeing like even on my chart with some of them, it shows my weight like way up here, and now I'm steadily seeing that line drop down. It's a huge encouragement. And I've got to talk to other patients from these doctors who are in similar spots, and it's a great opportunity just to show them, hey, you know, this is possible. Like, yeah, it might be risky, it's going to be painful, it's going to be tough, but it is possible. And even with my current job, I'm able to work at a camp called Youth Haven in Rives Junction. And so we work with at-risk and underprivileged youth. Okay. And we're a very open, like, outdoorsy camp. So there's a lot of running, a lot of activity. Mm-hmm. Stephen, 4 or 5 years ago, couldn't keep up with these kids. Now I'm able to go out there, I'm running with them, doing everything they need to do and being active. And so it's amazing how everything works out and the timing of it. But I also look back and think, okay, what if I had taken this a bit more serious earlier on?
Yeah.
But it's just the biggest thing for me now is just focusing on the things that I can control instead of what I can't. And with my dad being in the military, when that's the culture that you know so long, that was all I wanted to do when I was growing up. Until I was like 10, that was it. Like, I wanted to be like my dad. And then when I'm told you can't get in because of it, it messed me up.
Yeah.
Now, I actually did. I went through and I took the ASVAB and I did like the physical test and everything, and I passed that.
Wow.
And yet I still couldn't get in because of my heart and everything, which is understandable. But now I get to say, okay, everything that I could have done, like everything that was on me to get in there, I did.
You did it.
And I could have done it.
Yeah.
And so that was like a huge closure for me.
That's
so
amazing.
It was a big step.
That's big really step. Cool. I bet your dad is so proud of you too.
He is. During that time, he and I did have a pretty rough patch because he was coming back from deployments. I was in a dark spot. And so there for a long time, we were not exactly on the best of terms. Mm-hmm. But he and I are closer than ever. And even with me just working with kids and now for a living, he tells me constantly how much he loves it and how proud he is. And I actually called him before I came out here. I told him about the podcast. Uh-huh. So after you emailed me, he was like one of the first people I called. Uh-huh. I'm like, Dad, I'm about to lose my mind. And I told him, and he has no idea about CrossFit. Okay. Yeah. He doesn't follow it. He knows about the games. That's about it. But he just was so proud and so happy to hear how this was going, because he recognized the work that I was doing. And same thing with my mom and sister, the whole family. They just love it.
That's awesome.
And it's great to look back. But again, in some ways, I want to imagine what it would have been like if I had done this earlier.
Yeah.
Like if those 5 or 6 years would have been so much more different if I had changed my view on it. But
it's interesting to think about. I think it's cool too when you bring up kind of your dad and just changing, focusing on what you can control and changing your expectations and your goals. Like even from what you said from the very beginning, if your dad imagining I'm going to have a professional football player
Absolutely.
For a son or whatever, or your expectations of I'm going to be in the military, but then you during life we're constantly having to adapt our goals based on, you know, various variables that come up. And
Absolutely.
So it's amazing to see how you've been able to adapt and you're still maximizing everything that you have that's within your control. And still, I think it seems like you're still very satisfied and happy with that, even though you're not necessarily reaching that goal that you had when you were 10.
I'm telling you, I'm in a very good spot emotionally and mentally. Mm-hmm. And that has a lot to do with the growth that I've had mentally more than physically. Mm-hmm. Physically, I feel great.
Yeah.
But just be able to repair relationships that were damaged, being able to focus more on the positive instead of the negative, it changes your life.
Yeah.
And it really lightens things up. And it's the hardest thing for me because when I'm at the gym, I do my best because I watch and I see who looks like they are standing out. Because especially like at New Year's, we all know at New Year's, a ton of new people are coming in the gym.
Right.
And there's this idea that they're in the way. And like some people talk about how they don't want to accept them or look out the New Year's resolution people are coming. Why are we talking about it like that?
Right.
Like I had to have a breakthrough moment and I had to really have someone push me. And I was definitely not this peak athlete when I did it.
Yeah.
So now I get to look out for them. And now that I'm in a spot where I have the respect of the other athletes, where I'm in better shape, I get to make them feel more welcome, get to bring them in and help them get started. And so it's all this idea of passing things on. As soon as you learn something, you got to pass it on. And that's why I love this podcast.
That's amazing.
Yeah.
Well, what were some of the biggest things that helped you make that shift in your mindset from being more of like a victim mindset of like, oh, this is, you know, I have these diagnoses and I have this situation, to looking at the positive and how can you maximize what's within your control?
It was definitely a tough process, but for the most part, I was looking. And I had some friends and family who had not had any health issues whatsoever. Like they were completely healthy, able to go and do whatever they wanted. And yet they sat back and they like wasted a lot of time and energy. And I remember getting so upset because I was like, man, if I had what you had, nothing would stop me right now. Like, I would take on the world and everything would be great. And but yet you're just sitting there and enjoying it. Like, even guys at my dad's base, like, they come in, oh, I just took the military as a last resort. I'm like, you realize what I would give to get into that. But I can't keep comparing to what if I had something, because there are going to be plenty of times where I don't get that. And so I just had to remind myself, listen, this isn't going away. My heart's not going to be instantly fixed. My lungs are not going to just be full capacity when I wake up. I just have to make do with it. And now I kind of took it as a challenge. So the doctor tells me I'm not going to keep up. Watch me.
Yeah, you're going to try. Yeah.
Yeah. The doctor's going to tell me I can't lift as much as the guys there. Okay. Uh-huh. Stay tuned.
Yeah.
And it turns into a competition because, I mean, there are guys that I know I'm not going to be able to touch. Like, when it comes to anything physical, I know they're going to smoke me. But at the same time, I have to look back and think, okay, if you had what I had, is your mentality strong enough to carry you on? Like, would you be where I'm at right now if you had what I had? And that's not me, like, bragging and saying, hey, I'm great. It's saying, listen, this is a mental game for me more. Like, I have to tell myself, like, I'm going to go do this. My body's telling me no. Doctors are advising me not to. I'm going to determine what I'm capable of. You're not going to be able to tell me what I can and cannot do. I'm going to go. I'm going to try it. If I fail, I fail. That's part of life. But I'm going to go knowing I put everything out there. And again, it's pretty cool when I look back and think of what is in my story, like all the challenges I face, and see where I'm at now. Yeah. I'm like I said, I'm definitely not winning any major awards, but just every day where I get to see myself grow and see those changes, that's enough of a prize for me. And it's something I want to pass on to as many people as I can.
That's amazing. Have you done anything specific for mental training or to, you know, how do you, obviously all of us still have days that are hard or where we get into a rut where we're not, you know, in the best Absolutely. Mental shape. So how do you overcome that, or what do you do to kind of keep yourself on track?
So one of the best things that I did, when I'm at the gym most of the time now, I'm no longer listening to music when I'm at the gym. I'm always trying to listen to either a podcast or a message, something that I can learn from while I'm doing something. Because my hands always have to be busy. Mm-hmm. If I was in school, I was never the one just to sit there and read something and then it's good. No, you have to show me how it works. Yeah. Like, I have to be active while this is going on.
Yeah.
And so I'll go to the gym and I'm going physically, and all the while I have something in my ear that's helping me grow mentally. And that's why I built up the routine of going to the gym as much as I can. It is, if I'm in a bad rut, I don't want to fall back to what was comfortable before. And I know how easy that is for me to do. So if I'm struggling, like if I'm just having a bad day at the office and I need to get away, I'm going to the gym. I'm going to go get my alone time. I'm going to clear my head,
yeah.
Get something positive going into my mind. And then I'm just going to tire myself out, come back, and then my head will be clear. And so listening to guys like Ben Bergeron, listening to the CrossFit podcast, the WOD podcast, there are, and especially a lot of the messages, like my faith is a huge part of who I am. And that was actually one of the biggest pushes, because when the Bible talks about how God wants us to do everything as if it was for his glory, that means not just me sitting on the couch. Like, I can't really glorify God if I'm treating the temple that he gave me like garbage.
Right.
And so just growing in that spiritual area as well, while pushing myself physically, that's how I clear my head, so that physically I no longer feel like I have the energy to take on too much. And mentally I have plenty to think on. And so it's just that idea of keeping myself busy so I don't have enough time or energy to fall back to where I did before.
It's amazing. So. Yeah. And keeping that routine, like knowing, I think it's so, for any of us, if you miss a couple of days in the gym, it's so much harder to get back on track.
Exactly.
Than if you're, you know, sticking with your routine and being consistent with it.
My coworkers get on me for it because I'm extremely predictable with my day-to-day. It's like I normally try to go to the gym before I get to the office, and then I will go at some point later that evening. And so my friends know Steven is either going to be at work, he's going to be at the gym, or he's out getting groceries. That's about it.
that's the only places
that's
you
Steven's
can find
routine. And so they get on me for it, but it's honestly, that's what I have to do. Like, I have to make it a priority. And I could have just sat back and go to the gym once a week and think I'm making progress. No, I want to be here for as many years as I can. With my health issues, I had never thought about family. I had never thought about a future because I didn't think I had one. Now I'm training for that. I want to be around down the road. I want to start a family, things like that. And it's a whole new world, basically. I hate to do the Disney quote, but
it's a good use of it. Yeah. I love it. That's awesome. So where you mentioned that it's been several years since you've had any type of the skin cancers.
Yes, ma'am.
Where are some of your other health conditions at now?
So my heart, we just went to the doctor like 6 months ago, and they put a Holter monitor on just to do checks and everything, and there's not any more leakage or anything like that. Everything is sealed up, but it is functioning at like 60%, I believe, of what it's supposed to, which is at the low normal. So no need for concern there. They are very confident because of how the surgery went. They don't believe I'll have to go back for a second, which normally is the case for people with that certain surgery. And then same thing with my lungs. Like, lungs are about 60%. Everything sounds clear. It's for what I have to work with, it's the best that it's going to be.
That's
and
awesome.
So it's been fun. All the doctor visits are a lot less challenging now.
And your blood pressure?
Blood pressure's doing great.
Normal.
Like, I was doing great with that. And then even my sugars and levels like that, I was getting closer. The way I was eating, diabetes was in the cards.
Yeah.
And now, no,
which
not
is so
much.
A, you know, a crazy thing, but it's a real concern for a lot of kids and teenagers these days, which is just, it's a little bit terrifying to think, you know, if you've already got some of these chronic health conditions at that young age, what your future really looks like. So it's amazing that, you know, people can look to you as an example of how this can be turned around.
No, it's crazy because everything that, especially with my generation and what's coming up now, they have everything so easy. Like, they have access to media or entertainment within seconds, and they don't have to go and do fun stuff. Like, my parents locked me out of the house multiple times to make me go and run. Whereas here, they just sit down and it's not a push. And especially for kids who are coming from a similar spot as me and they have those challenges already, that they're put behind the eight ball immediately. And unless they have people who are willing to be straight and honest with them and have the opportunity to grow in that and see how life can be different, that's really a huge thing for them to overcome. And it terrifies me.
Like, it does. It does. We've spent the last few weeks in my residency, we've been focusing a lot on this rotation called health promotion. So we're focusing a lot on like lifestyle behaviors and preventive health. And we've been talking a lot about childhood obesity and social media and all these things. And it's just terrifying to think of a lot of what kids are being exposed to and what kind of a standard of living is these days, and how can we help them to establish healthy habits from a young age.
I mean, I feel like, especially with, like, you mentioned the social media, I feel like we're getting attacked on two sides because they have everything so accessible that they don't have to go out and get it. And so the healthy living lifestyle is not being pushed. At the same time, if you choose not to go that route and things start to go south, then it's very easy because of social media for everyone to jump on you. And with a lot of the kids that I work with, we deal with that a lot. Like, they see how quick it is for someone to jump on them. Everyone's opinion matters. And in today's day and age, it's very easy for them to voice it.
Yeah.
And it was something I dealt with. Like, especially when I first started going to the gym, I was the fat guy at the gym that no one wanted to be around.
Yeah.
You have to get through that. And you have to realize their opinion. Yeah, it's their right to say it. They can say whatever they want to say, but it's not going to impact what you do. Like, you have the ability to fix it. You have the ability to change it. They can say whatever they want. Doesn't mean anything. Like, a lot of people thought I was never going to lose the weight. I did.
Proved him wrong.
The doctors, they thought I wasn't going to be able to keep up. It's the same thing. And it's their decision. Like you have to have the mental strength and you have to decide you're worth the effort. Like, you're worth the priority. And even if you have a challenge that's going on, like if you have something that you feel is taken out of your hands, I was watching the feed for the Arnold. There is a guy, what is his name? Miles. There's this young man I've been following for a while. I'm having a problem with his name, but he has cerebral palsy.
Okay.
And he is a power lifter. And I've been following him for a while. And all of his stuff, like, he's not throwing up like crazy weights or anything, but he's up there and he's lifting. And he was just on the Arnold stage.
That's amazing.
Deadlifted 187, I believe.
Oh,
and
wow.
He just got the huge crowd going for him.
Yeah.
That's a young man who had his whole life just shook before he even had a chance.
Yeah.
Like, he was put behind the eight ball.
Yeah.
He chose he's going to fix it. He chose he's going to go and he's going to do things. And it put him in a stage where he never thought he's going to be.
Right.
Like, honestly, I'm a redneck from West Virginia. I'm not supposed to be talking to someone who made it to the CrossFit Games or on this podcast. And I'm definitely not a health professional. But if you're willing to put in the effort, it can take you places you never expected.
It's
crazy.
It's so true. So you mentioned a couple of your goals, like your double body weight deadlift and squat. And maybe starting a family. Is there anything else that you're really focused on now as you look toward the future?
I've never, besides like the military time when I was looking at things and that was all I wanted to do, mm-hmm. I've never really been one to just plan ahead. Mm-hmm. Because of the health stuff, you always are just taking one day at a time. Mm-hmm. Because you don't know how quick things are going to change. Mm-hmm. And so I've always been one just to sit back and enjoy what's happening. Like, I've got to tour and do some fun stuff like that and do a lot of security work. But right now, I'm enjoying where God has me. I'm working at Youth Haven. It's an amazing ministry, and the family atmosphere that we have there with the staff, I love it. And everything is in a good spot. And I'm just waiting for God to write this next chapter. I don't know what that holds. I don't know what is going to come from it. But I just know that he's taken me this far, and he's brought me on a crazy ride. So whatever he has in store, I'm going to go with.
There is a plan.
Yes, ma'am.
There is a plan. That's awesome.
Absolutely.
Any advice that you would give to someone, like maybe yourself when you were 16 years old, or someone who's in that situation who has a challenge, they're kind of in a rut where maybe they have this attitude of, you know, being a victim mm-hmm. to their condition or the cards that they were dealt.
Absolutely.
What advice would you give them, or how would you help them to get through that into this next stage?
I think the biggest thing is, you're only a victim if you let yourself be one. Like, there's a lot of things, especially in the health realm, that you can't outmatch. Like, you can't change. And so if you're just sitting back and waiting for someone to make your road easy, that's not going to happen. Like, even with all the advancements that they're having in medicine and in the changes there, they're not going to be there where everything falls into place perfectly for you. You don't have to fight for it. And you don't have to realize, okay, maybe I can't do as much as this guy. But if I'm doing something, it's more than what I'm doing now. So it's not comparing yourself to what everyone else is doing. I hate the idea that fitness is like this competition. Like, if I'm going to the gym, I don't need to be able to lift more than him. He's been here. He's been doing his own thing. If he's at that weight, cool. If I'm at the gym, I'm going to do what I'm at. And that's me growing.
Right.
Instead of looking at what he's doing, I want to know I'm doing my best. And that's all I can do.
And it's such a tough thing, too, because that's where I think a lot of these feelings come from. And like mm-hmm. we talked about social media, or we talked about making comparisons to other people who just are in completely different
Absolutely.
Situations, have been dealt a completely different set of cards. Mm-hmm. And it's so easy. I mean, as humans, that's just kind of what we do, is we compare ourselves to people who are around us. And sometimes it's good if it's someone who's maybe inspiring, or someone who's setting a good example, and you want to try to kind of follow in their footsteps.
Absolutely.
But then it can definitely be a negative thing too, if you're only focused on, you know, not being good enough mm-hmm. or in comparison to other people.
I mean, everyone's story is different and everyone's challenges are different. And so you and I might be facing similar things, but because of how we handle it, this part of it might be more challenging for me, and that part might be more challenging for you. So if I'm just looking at how you're handling it and saying, oh man, she's handling that much better than me, why am I not able to keep up? That's sort of put me behind anyway. And like, I'm extremely competitive, and I get the idea of comparison, and that was something I still struggle with to this day. I don't think you ever really get over it. I think you just have to constantly remind yourself that you're not focused on them. Like, their work isn't going to do anything for you. Mm-hmm. Your work is not going to do anything for them. Mm-hmm. Their life is theirs. Your life is yours. And if you spend so much time focusing on what someone else is doing, you're just going to become a little worse version of them. Mm-hmm. Whereas I just want to be
I
me.
Love that.
I just want to be me. I don't want to be another guy at the gym. I don't want to be someone else. I don't even want to be another Matt Frazier. Mm-hmm. Like, yeah, it would be great to be at his level, but I don't want to be that if that's my sole aspiration. Mm-hmm. I would much rather have my own journey, write my own story, and just see how it goes from there, knowing I gave my best effort. Mm-hmm. And that's not always easy for a lot of people to get. And I'm coming from the military background and coming from the farm, where it's basically like you pull yourself up, like you've got to get work done, you go. And that was pretty much put into me from a young age. And I still struggle with it. Mm-hmm. So I can imagine for a lot of people who've never experienced that, it's crazy. Mm-hmm. But you just have to realize you're worth the effort. Your life is yours, and nobody, no doctor, no friend, no family member can tell you what you're capable of. Mm-hmm. You're the only one who can determine that.
That's amazing.
Yep.
All right. So I finish with three questions, which I'm sure you're familiar with.
Yes, ma'am.
You maybe have thought about your answers already. The first one is three things that you do now on a regular basis that have the biggest positive impact on your health.
So the first thing is, I make sure that I get up early and start my day off in the gym, because I make sure that that is the first thing that I get to, because if the day gets crazy and things are out of line, then I'm not going to have time to invest it. I love how Ben Bergeron puts it. If you win the morning, you win the day.
Yes.
So if it is important to you, I want to get that done. Mm-hmm. So the gym is one of the first places I go.
I love that. I've been doing that. This year has been the first year where I've really been doing morning workouts, where it's been kind of feasible with my schedule, and it's so much better, and I'm so much more likely to get the workouts in than if I wait and do it later in the
day. It's a lot harder to get friends to go with me to the gym. I'm like, hey, I'm gonna be at the gym at 5:30.
Right. They're like, what?
I'm pretty sure they were shocked, because some of them might have realized that the 5:30 happens two times a day. I don't think they knew that. But but no, the gym is definitely the first one. And then I have to get my devos time in and get my devotions and my reading in before things get started.
And do you have a specific book that you follow, or do you...
It's pretty much, I just wing it. So my Devo time is basically me and my Bible. And then if I have another book that I'm reading, I will set some time for that as well. Like Chasing Excellence or You Can't Hurt Me, books like that. Reading through that just to make sure I'm getting it from both sides. And so growing my body physically and mentally before anything else happens.
Love it.
And it also gives me the mentality of, okay, I just learned something or I just read something that is going to help me through the day. So if I get there in the office and things are going crazy and everything's hitting the fan, I now have that mentality to go back on, instead of, oh, okay, I just went through a crappy day and now I want to go recover from it.
Right.
It's a lot easier if I get that started with that. And so going to the gym first thing, my devos time, and then this is going to sound kind of childish, but I always make sure I call my family.
Sound childish at all. That's amazing.
I always make sure that I have at least one call with my mom and dad every day. I'm about 6 hours away from them now, but I make sure in an effort to call them because like I said, my life's been kind of crazy, and one day can change everything. But I want to make sure that they know I love them, they know I'm there, and keep up with them and my sister as well. And so it's those are the three things that I do.
That's amazing. It's so true. The relationships and family and friends are the most important. So, and we often, I think, take that for granted and don't put in the time. That's needed.
Yeah.
All right. What about one thing that you think would have a big impact on your health, but you have a hard time implementing it, or you haven't tried it yet?
It would be great if like Chick-fil-A would go out of business. But in some ways, for the physical side of it, I'm great with that. On other sides, I love it. But no, basically, I like the idea of a cheat day. Like, that was something that really helped me, because I would be really strict with my diet up until a certain point. Then on one day, I would
have
let it go.
Yeah.
But at the same time, if I'm going to try to optimize this, then I can't have a cheat day every 2 weeks. I can't have it every week. And so the idea of just cutting that, eliminating so that my diet stays streamlined and stays consistent all the way through, that's my next step. That's a challenge that's coming up. Not really looking forward to it, because my cheat days were great. But
well, it's a readjustment too of like what is... I mean, I think there's something to be said for not being so restrictive in your diet that you feel like you're depriving yourself all the time.
True.
But a difference in a cheat day between like a well-cooked grass-fed hamburger versus a fast food hamburger or something like that, you know?
Yes, ma'am.
But variations of the same. But I can agree with that sentiment for
Absolutely.
Sure.
Absolutely.
Last question is, what does a healthy life look like to you?
Someone who doesn't just accept what is easy, someone who's always pushing to get better, whether that be with your diet, whether that be with relationships, with your work at the gym, someone who's just always trying to improve instead of just sitting on what is comfortable or easy. Because if we're basing fitness or health on output or what someone is capable of doing in the gym, then that goes back to that competition mindset. Whereas if we're just looking at, okay, I'm doing everything I can in all of these categories, that if that's all you can do, like if I get to the point where my max is at 380 and that's all I can do, cool.
You're still going to be happy with
exactly. I'm putting out all the effort I can, and then that's going to allow me to expand, because health is universal. Like, it's not just on the physical side, it's the emotional and mental and spiritual side as well. And so if one is out of whack, it throws everything out. So if you're putting your max effort into making sure that all of those characteristics, all those categories are covered, then you're going to be having a healthier lifestyle. And it's not going to be easy per se, but it's definitely going to be bringing you to your max and pushing you to get better every day.
I love it. Perfect note to end on. You're a wonderful example of that. And
well,
it's so amazing to hear just the complete 180 transformation that you've made over these past few years. And how old are you now?
I'm 24.
24.
Yes,
okay.
Ma'am.
So it wasn't, I mean, what? It was just in the past 5 years so that you've made these huge changes. And I'm sure, you know, over the next 5 or 10 years, we'll see even more progress.
I got a couple of things on my bucket list that I want to get to. And it's going to take a lot of work. It might be a bit of a stretch, but it's on my list.
Anything that you want to dare to put out there on the podcast?
Well, since I've worked on the open just in the past 2 years, my goal before I die at some point, hopefully, whether it be as a master's athlete or whatever, is I would love to get to make it to regionals. Mm-hmm. That is a huge one. And honestly, I just want to go to the CrossFit Games even as a fan.
That's all
I want to do.
That's a great – I was looking back at like this journal that I kept when I was little of things I want to do before I die. And on there was go to the Olympics.
But I
remember specifying very clearly in my head, it just said go to the Olympics. Doesn't mean I have to qualify for the Olympics. But I just want to go and see it and watch and take it all in.
It's like the CrossFit Games and the Arnold. Mm-hmm. Those are the two. The Arnold's happening right now.
Yeah.
And I was honestly like, okay. Arnold, Julie. Yeah, Julie wins.
Oh, wow. But that is saying a lot. I am honored.
No, it's been, I've been trying, ever since I started this journey, I've been trying to get to the Arnold because it's like this condensed area of
you
all these fit
it.
People.
Next and year you have to go.
It's a goal. Like I thought I had everything lined up for this year and then I ended up having to work and then I had to change my hotel, had to cancel all of that. But then fortunately, something really cool came along and now my weekend is pretty cool too. So
well, it works out I'm glad that worked out. But
yeah, maybe next year.
Next year you'll have to go for
absolutely.
Sure. It's
absolutely.
A very fun experience.
That's what I've
heard. So much fitness in one place.
It's crazy, right? Yeah. Crazy.
Very crazy. And then someday you'll have to go to the games too and watch. It's a fun time.
I'm working on that one. I'm working on that.
Now that you're in the Midwest, it's like it's
closer. It's really not that bad. Like we were working this summer and I honestly asked my boss, I'm like, listen, Madison's only like 6 hours away. I could go for like 2 days, come back and then I won't miss too much. I'm like, well, we appreciate the thought, but
we'll think about it.
No, we need you here. I'm like, all right. So I'm planning a time off request for the games this year, hopefully.
Nice.
But
awesome.
If they hear this before I've submitted it, I'm sorry, but I'm
going to
try.
But, awesome. Well, thank you so much for sitting
down. Thank you so much
for
having me.
For sharing your story, for being so open about it, and we look forward to seeing
perfect.
What else you accomplish
in
the next 5, 10, 15 decades beyond that. So.
Who knows? Maybe I'll see you at the game someday.
Yes. I can see it now.
Awesome. Yes, ma'am. Sorry.
Thanks. Thank you so much for tuning into this episode. I loved hearing Steven's story and getting to know him a little bit better through our conversation. There are a few important takeaways that I had from our chat. Number one is to play the hand you're dealt. Unfortunately, we're all dealt a different hand in life, and sometimes it may seem unfair. But we all have the opportunity to maximize the variables that are within our own control, just as Steven learned to do. And it's amazing to see how happy and fulfilled he is today now that he's doing so. The second point that I took away from our conversation was about the importance of relationships. It was clear from the beginning of our conversation how much Steven cares about his family and how much they care about him. What his mom did to research all of his medical conditions, his dad's support and his dad acting as a role model in the military when he was growing up, the support of his sister. It really came through towards the end of the conversation when Steven talked about one of the things he does on a regular basis that have the biggest positive impact on his health, which was connecting with his family at least once a day. And it really is true. Relationships are everything. And without the people in our lives, it doesn't really matter how healthy we are if we don't have those relationships and we don't put the energy into them that they deserve. The third point that I took away from our conversation was not to let others' expectations limit what you are capable of. So many times, maybe Steven's doctors didn't want him to try exercising, or maybe they didn't even think that he was capable of making such a dramatic lifestyle change. But he was really focused on just trying to get a little bit better every day and trying not to let anyone else's expectations limit what he was able to do. And clearly he was able to suppress a lot of others' expectations as well as a lot of the expectations that he had for himself, I'm sure. So that's what I took away. I'd love to hear a little bit more about what your takeaways were from this episode. You can share them in the comments below this post on my website, juliefouché.com, or on social media using hashtag pursuinghealth. To make sure you never miss an episode and to receive exclusive content from me, head to my website, juliefouché.com, and subscribe to my email list. If you like what you heard, don't forget to subscribe and consider giving the podcast a 5-star rating on iTunes. Also, don't forget to share your stories. If you or someone you know has used lifestyle to overcome a serious health challenge, please send me an email at info@juliefouché.com. I'll choose some of these inspiring stories to share here on future episodes. Don't forget you can train with me through Beyond the Whiteboard by visiting trainwithjuliefouché.com. Thank you again so much for listening, and I'll catch you next time on Pursuing Health. Have you tried out Thrive Market yet? If not, you are definitely missing out. What are you waiting for? Thrive Market is an online marketplace on a mission to make healthy living easy and affordable for everyone. It allows you to shop for thousands of the best-selling non-GMO foods and natural products, always at 25 to 50% below retail prices. But as a Pursuing Health listener, you'll receive an additional 25% off your first purchase, plus a free 30-day trial if you visit www.thrivemarket.com/PH. My husband Danny and I shop for our staple grocery items using Thrive Market, things like nut butters, cooking oils, snacks, dressings, coffee and tea, personal care products, eco-friendly cleaning supplies, and non-toxic beauty products. It has helped us to stay on track with our busy schedules during medical training, and we know all of their products are coming from a curated list that we can trust. So, no matter what you're looking for, whether it's paleo, vegan, ketogenic, gluten-free, non-GMO, fair trade certified, or any of 80 plus other types of products, you can easily find them on the Thrive Market platform at prices 25 to 50% below retail. Even better, these items are shipped straight to your doorstep, so you don't have to worry about the time or hassle of grocery shopping. Thrive Market's mission is to make healthy living easy and approachable to everyone, and this aligns perfectly with my own personal mission and that of Pursuing Health. Because it has been such a lifesaver for me, I wanted to share the benefits of Thrive Market with all of you, and they've responded with an amazing offer. So head to www.thrivemarket.com/PH to receive 25% off your first purchase plus a free 30-day trial. Again, this is on top of their already 25 to 50% below retail prices. So why not try it out and do your grocery shopping from home this week? I hope you can take advantage of this offer and enjoy their service as much as I have. Once again, that website is thrivemarket.com/PH to learn more. No discount code is necessary. Just shop around and the discount will be applied at checkout. This episode is brought to you by Siete Foods. You know when you meet a group of people who are just so genuine that you can't help but treat them like old friends or family? Well, that's how I felt when meeting the Garza family, the founders of Siete Foods. Siete Foods is a healthy Mexican-American food brand that makes grain-free and paleo-friendly tortillas, tortilla chips, quesos, and hot sauce. My husband and his family first met the Garzas at Paleo FX several years ago, and they had an instant connection and have kept in touch ever since. Maybe it's their powerful origin story that makes them so relatable. Veronica Garza was facing a series of major health challenges as a teenager. Her entire family of seven jumped on board to help. Together, they adopted a low-inflammation, grain-free diet. But as a Mexican-American family living in South Texas, they couldn't imagine life without tortillas. And it wasn't long before Veronica came up with a delicious solution and Siete Foods was born. After years of enjoying their delicious, grain-free, dairy-free, and paleo-friendly tortillas, tortilla chips, queso, and hot sauces, I finally had the chance to meet the Garzas in person, and they immediately made me feel like a member of the family. Their passion for making the world a healthier place is contagious, and their generosity spreads to everyone they touch. I'm so excited to have Siete Foods as a sponsor of this episode, and if you're not already a fan of their products, I promise that you will be as soon as you try them. They've provided an exclusive discount for Pursuing Health listeners. Just use code Julie when you check out on sietefoods.com to take advantage of their offer. Again, their website is sietefoods.com, SIETEFOODS.com, and you can use code Julie for 10% off your order.